Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
When you hear that bomb blast, get a shot glass. Listen to the podcast. It's all up in your bomb cast. Big J kills them like OJ Simpson. A quick hit the fingerless glove, don't bend. Get break quick by that big dick Dave Smith. He all up in your ribs while he talking politics. Or get bit when you rattle by that Puerto Rican snake. And natural born killers, legion of skanks.
Welcome to the class.
Today I had to go in early before this and go to Sirius XM to interview Donnie Wahlberg.
Ooh. The right pretty cool, stuff.
Pretty cool dude. Although I was so frustrated when I get there, like when we started the interview with him, like they fake it like you're coming back from commercial basically. And the song they just started playing was The Right Stuff. And you're like, guys, come on, crew. And he was like, no, it's fine. I was like, no, I know it's fine. I know you're not embarrassed of it. It's just like, has this happened 7 bazillion times in your life where they just play the most obvious song and they start you in?
Yeah.
It really shows you that our crew does not know your catalog, and that's fucked. Good dude. Interesting stories about Sixth Sense and everything. He was supposed to be, he's the guy who shot Bruce Willis in Sixth Sense.
Oh, yeah, that's I completely forgot that. I was literally, when you said Sixth Sense, I was going back, and I did, that's right, yeah, he's all sickly looking, but is Donnie Wahlberg.
He said an interesting thing. He was supposed to be dressed as, like, a goth kid, and he said that he suggested to Bruce Willis that he would be, like, naked, because, like he just, like, show, like, how crazy he's gone, and then they made him put on underwear, but that was his idea. Look at that. Always producing that, Donnie D.
Oh, Donnie he wanted to go dong out naked.
He wanted to go dong out naked.
Well, find a big dick. That would always be my suggestion. Yeah, but hey, guys, we should do an all nude podcast today.
Nah. I don't even want to be naked alone.
Yeah, if I was Dave, literally, I would have suggested years ago, hey, I got an angle, guys. All of our dicks are out at all times.
Dude, I do remember, we're not supposed to mention his name, I guess, so I won't mention it, but when we did the all dude, all nude podcast and we had our gay friends sit in while we were all naked many years ago. I remember when I first got naked, he could swear he was joking, but he wasn't joking. He asked me to do a turn.
Yeah.
And I was like, no. I remember just being like, yo, is this what chicks have to deal with all day, every day?
Oh, no. Are we not supposed to mention his name? I thought we're just not supposed to mention how he was a liar and a thief.
Well, it's pretty impossible to do one without the other.
So funny, reached out to me randomly the other day.
Who?
One of the guy we're talking about, old roommates, who, if you remember, this girl was she was like anorexically thin. She was cute, really cute, but she,
I think I know what you're talking about.
She was even in the little teaser we did.
Oh yeah. That bitch
for Legion of Skanks. Yeah. But she's like a fucking bodybuilder now with big, huge fake hands and does, some OnlyFans stuff. Noise.
Oh, nice.
Wow, that bodybuilder is not what I would have imagined.
It's so funny because we're such dudes. Like, what a hilarious reaction to that. Like, because there's two versions of, I think, every man, right? Even Dave, who's married and like a genuinely good dude. So you hear about that girl, you're like, oh, she's got big hands, she's doing OnlyFans, and you're like, nice. That's the one version. But then you take a beat and go, like, oh, that's kind of sad.
Sure. No, I know exactly what you mean, but it's also
so there's the range.
We don't know.
We don't know
her well enough for it to be that sad. Also, it doesn't seem quite as sad as it could have been because, she's not anorexic anymore, which is great.
Yeah. Also,
she got like dangerously skinny at a point.
Also, it's hard. We knew her at just being roommates with the guy we're talking about. Yeah. Is such a sad place to start from that you go like, oh, she got fake tits, she's doing OnlyFans now. You're like,
pull it together.
It's like a stripper going back to nursing school or something. You're like, okay, all right.
But
it's so funny. Like,
she's doing well.
How does even like a girl like market herself on OnlyFans? Like, what is the process? Do they have to like fucking?
I think it's through Twitch. I think she does big titty, like bikini, like video games. And that probably draws people over to OnlyFans, be my guess.
That is the pipeline.
But it's almost like they have to do what we do. It's like they have to put like a funny reel and then be like, hey, just so you know, you can also see my pussy.
He goes, sure, you've seen me conquer the game of Q-bert. But have you seen me chug balls?
These fucking whores have to put on crowd work clips. So where are you from?
But dude, it's sweet though, because she fucking said she's like followed Legion of Skanks and stuff, and like saw us on Kill Tony. I think that's why she reached out.
There's one. It happened upon my feed today. You guys probably find it. It was like the top earning OnlyFans creators, and the top bitch is Bad Baby.
I was gonna say, is it still not naked people?
No, it's Bad Baby. And then the second bitch, I didn't even know it was an OnlyFans chick. The second bitch is this chick, Jame Liz Benitez something. She showed up in my Facebook algorithm a while ago. I had no idea who she was. She's just this kind of petite, like slutty chick who like just like takes like videos. But this bitch earns $1.5 million a month on OnlyFans.
A month.
It's so crazy. Like,
What's she famous from?
Nothing. She's famous from being like a hot slut on OnlyFans. And it's just like, I'm not even hating. Like,
but that's what I'm saying. But you asked about how the marketing goes. Like, that's it. She just did it through OnlyFans somehow.
I think probably her initial videos. Try to pull her up if you guys can find her. We are just naming names and telling you to pull stuff up. If at any point you guys could add a visual element to the things that we're talking about, it would be so nice.
Well, Alex did find ChatGPT advice on how to market yourself on OnlyFans.
Yes, and I'm looking for the post that you said you saw on Instagram. I'm looking for it.
Yeah, regardless, I just feel like we have a lot of people working on the show.
Someone says she makes that much because she was the first person to platform. Yeah, I mean, if you're right, if there's a few people that just got on there right away and everyone's like, what's OnlyFans? And then
she was the first OnlyFans girl, the girl I'm talking about, says Carmen Carbonarte. Dude, this bitch makes it's bonkers, and it's so much money. $1.5 million a month. It's so much money. This is fucking, what is that? $1.5 million a month? That's $18 million a year. That's so much money that I don't actually disparage it in any sense. It could be any of our children. It could be any of our daughters. I'm like, all right, more power to you. If you can figure out $18 million a month, there's nothing even slightly embarrassing. Your dad should be proud.
The problem is that like the average OnlyFans model makes like $300 a year. And so right. It's just like, you're like, God,
well, the
man.
Finding about being the first person on the deals too is like how many people, I bet she's making right now, if she's still making 1.5 even, I bet there was a time she was making maybe even a bit more than that, because that's how many people just like signed on at first when she first got on there. Word traveled. But then again, there's like so many people that come afterwards. But there's so many people also just don't cancel their subscription. You know what I mean?
Can
like
you please
to her.
Pull up the girl that we're talking about, at least, Alex? I mean, for the love of God.
Like, I have a question almost that with like podcasting. Does Marc Maron, does he make substantially less money than he made at one point now? Adam Carolla?
Oh, for sure. Adam Carolla, I think, at one point had one of the biggest podcasts in the world. And
no,
I don't
it was
think...
it was him, Marc Maron, and Rogan. That was like the big
What dogs. You were asking if they make less money now?
Yes, or if we just quietly don't realize that everyone still kept their subscriptions to them.
Oh, I think Maron makes astronomically less money than he was making at one point. He like had that podcast like really fell off. It was
That's why I'm almost guessing if this girl at one point was making $5 million a month and it's down because she's just one of the first. But it does go away. There's another hot chick since.
Well,
that's like
okay, but here's the big difference, right? Is that I think number one, most people don't cancel memberships.
Like Liz Mealy.
Liz Mealy wishes.
She's yeah, dude. She's so teensy.
Liz looks a little mealy compared to this girl.
Mealy. This one looks like a kid. She looks like a midget.
Yeah, it's not great.
Like I'm surprised. I mean, she's hot. I get it, but it's like
she's hotter with her clothes on, actually. So when she's wearing like a little booty shorts and she's on top of like a Lamborghini dancing, she's actually hotter. Pull up on your Instagram.
Lewis knows all her work.
I do. Pull up her Instagram.
She does full sex porn though.
I don't know. I'm not on her.
There's a picture when they were back on the search
before. Is she the one who broke the windshield of a car?
Maybe.
I think I might have seen a thing where, like,
I never heard of this chick.
She got on someone's car and just broke it.
Well, she's currently the number two OnlyFans creator, Jay. So I don't know that other girls have taken her place. Or the thing that I saw, she's the number two OnlyFans creator.
So I guess it's not, that's what I'm saying, like the Marc Maron effect. Like the people just eventually go, like, move on to the next thing.
I think that, I don't know that, like, an OnlyFans whore. It's not like they're not creating the same way that like a podcaster or a comedian.
What are you talking about, Lewis? Look at this. Look at the way her butt cheeks show from the front. Not creating. She's annoying as fucking balls.
I hate
can't
her.
Can't even hear her, dude.
I hate her.
She rules.
I hate her. You would love her, Lewis.
She rules, dude. You need to chill. You guys are fucking haters, dude.
You'd love
I'm
her.
I'm saying, if I'm her father, I am proud of the girl that she became. $18 million a
what's
fucking
that? Month.
But Lewis, does she make?
Oh my goodness, I love this question.
I think.
What are you saying, Jay?
I don't know.
She has to stand next to a midget to not look like a midget.
Yeah, that's really weird. Is there a route to this without fucking on camera? Because you're saying about like, you're saying about parents being proud of her. It's like, to some degree, I guess, but like, you definitely don't want your daughter like fucking.
Well, let me just say this:
$18 million.
So look, here's the reality, right? All right, you can take her off. It's fine. For $18 million, like every girl we know has fucked some shithead.
Sure.
And they don't get the $18 million. It's so much. I'm saying, look. Karen Fian makes like 25 G's a month. Mm-hmm. That's not enough for me to not for like I'd still be disappointed in my daughter, even though it's a lot of money for like what it is.
No, she but makes a lot. My concern for Karen's always been that it's like if it affects her like long term because it won't be forever. But maybe I'm wrong. Like I said, because like
I think she's doing smart shit with her money. I think she saves her money, isn't investing it and buying property and doing.
I'm almost saying more. I'm sure. Yes, for sure, she can make the money work for her. But I would hate for that to affect her entertainment anyway. Because I think she's very funny. She's
well,
very
she's
talented.
Like 5 years away from joining OnlyGrands.com. Here's what's great about Karen, and that's why I don't actually hate on Karen either.
OnlyGrams. I'm not hating on her at all.
No, I'm not hating her at all because Karen is funny.
Yeah.
She saw an opportunity to make some fucking cash while she's figuring it out. Like you know, you're
figuring it out.
Karen's even younger than me in comedy and younger than Dave in comedy. You know what I'm saying? So it's like she's still developing and figuring out how to be a headliner and still figuring out her funny. So in the meantime, she's stacking some cash and not having to worry about having a day job or waiting tables, which a lot of fucking chicks have to do.
I don't not respect the gangster and the hustle. I'm saying it's just something that can like there's definitely can be ripple effect from it.
Yeah, I don't respect any of it. It is wrong in the eyes of the Lord.
Yeah, Christ thinks it's terrible.
I mean, is there a path to look? Bad Baby is the number one creator, and she doesn't even show any nudity on OnlyFans.
I think just titty now.
Does she even show nipple?
I think.
Here's Jay acting like he doesn't know.
Oh, I don't have any subscriptions to OnlyFans. But I would, I definitely have looked up like Bad Baby OnlyFans leak. But I think
did you see the titties?
But I don't know if it's even her OnlyFans. I think she just has done stuff now where you can see her titties, like see through shirts and shit.
Is there a path? And I think there's a lot of girls. There's another girl that I know that's on OnlyFans. Who's really hot. And then I looked up her OnlyFans to see if I could find like the leaks. She's like a friend of a friend.
Mm-hmm.
And she doesn't do nudes at all. Like that's her whole thing. And I think she makes good money on OnlyFans. I think honestly, there's like an art to it. You know how there's like fat chicks at the strip club and you find out they're the top earners. You're like, why? It's like, oh, because they have a lot of personality. And they had to talk to the guys in a certain way.
Yeah.
I think there's girls that figure out.
They take me in a room and they go, give me $50 to get off of you.
You want to breathe again?
The baby rhino.
But yeah, I wouldn't. If I was paying for a girl's OnlyFans and she wasn't getting naked.
But there's plenty of them that do make money. That's what I'm almost saying. Like she's making one point, what is it, a month?
It was like 1.5 million.
1.5 a month, like, is like, is it worth it to make 600,000-700,000 a month just showing your feet or something? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Jay, the answer is yes.
No, I know it's worth it. I'm saying,
no, he's
this
making
girl,
the comparison.
I'm saying to this girl,
if you could make 600 grand showing your feet, is it worth it to make 1.5 showing your puss? That's the,
yeah,
1.5 million to 600,000 is a massive difference.
1.5 is not just showing puss, it looks like she's fucking too. Like, she's
it is a
full,
massive
full
difference.
But is she fucking? I don't think so. Because if she is, send me the video.
I'm almost sure. I'm almost sure I saw it when she had the search engine up. But
I didn't even know who this bitch was. I literally saw this list today and I was like, oh, that bitch. I was like, first of all, she's on OnlyFans. I had no idea. She's on my Facebook. She'll show up.
Well, she also believes that she's doing like funny content too. You see by those videos we were just looking
content.
Content. But I think she definitely feels like she's doing like a content creator. So it's like, where's, that's what I'm saying. It's like, where it's like, there's some kind of a breach there between like, like, all right, watch my funny videos, or come watch me get anal cream pied. Like,
well,
it's such an interesting.
Yeah, you keep on saying that, yet I don't see this anal cream pie. If we could just pull it up, just and prove that it's there, I just want to know. Second of all,
you keep talking about the same cream pie.
You're saying these things,
and I'm not seeing.
I've never seen any of them. I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know. I almost. Oh yeah, she does get fucked. What a pig.
That's what I'm saying. This right here takes me out of even thinking twice or giving two shits or validity to her comedy little tidbits on Instagram.
Yeah, but I don't think she's trying to be a comedian. I think she's trying to get, she's siphoning the 2% of people that will follow her on Instagram because they see her shaking her ass into people
like,
that will subscribe
like
for $20 a month.
I respect
like
her gangster
what she's
completely.
Trying to get.
I respect her gangster and the hustle completely. As I say the same thing with Karen, all I'm saying is I don't believe that her father's like, go get it, kid.
Yeah. 18 million a year?
Nope. Jay, guys, I think her father's out of the picture. So I don't
probably,
think any of us
but
have to worry
let's just
about
say
it.
He's
her
not
father's probably videotaping for 18 million a year.
At this point, I've met so many porn stars that say they have a great relationship with their father. I'm just saying, whatever the situation is, this, like I said, I could respect all of it. Even as her father, I'd probably be like, fucking chicks making 1.5 a year, but I'll never be like, I think what you've done is amazing.
Yeah. No, Jay, listen, any porn star who says that she has a great relationship with her father has a really great relationship with her uncle.
You think
I mean,
the father
relationship? We talked to Lisa Ann years ago about it, and she was just, it was an honest moment. It's actually why I really respected and like Lisa Ann.
This moment, we all know the same exact moment.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
She's just like, she was like, look, she was like, there's exceptions to the rule. She was like, but I have really never met any porn star who had a good upbringing.
Well, no, her wording
what
was,
she said was, if you end up in porn, your parents fucked up. And she was like, let's just be real. And I remember it was an amazing moment. I still remember it too, because it was kind of like, I'd kind of say the same thing about comedians. Like, maybe not quite to the extent, but in general, like, if anyone was like, comedians aren't weird people, they're totally normal, well-adjusted people, I'd be like, why are we lying? That's not true. Like, I've just been in this world too much. I know
I mean,
all
it
the
is
comedians.
Too, it like, is to, like 1% of the extent. It's almost like more the equivalent for a man would be like a drug dealer, even if he's successful at it.
Yeah.
Like, so something like where you're doing some shady underbelly shit. Comedy at this point, I have so many friends who, like, did have good upbringings at this point and actually aren't fucked up that I'm like, that almost becomes, like, an old, like, trope. That's not, it's true for, like, us. Like,
it's
we happen
true.
To fit that.
No, it's generally kind of true. Even comedians who I know who are, like, clean comics or, like, have their lives together now, most of them are, like, odd people in some degree of a way. My point is, like, obviously it's not to the level of porn, but the point is just, like, I don't know, why do we have to pretend? Like, I'm not saying you're a bad person or it should be illegal or anything like that. I'm just saying, like, let's be honest. And it was really refreshing to hear Lisa Ann, who's, like, not just a porn star, but, like, a porn, you know, whatever.
Megastar. She essentially crossed over.
She's like, one of the bigger crossover, like, in terms of media. Yeah, for sure.
And also, Jenna I believe Jameson. She's like a producer and stuff like that. Like, she's not just like.
Well, no, she does. She's does podcasts and SiriusXM stuff.
No, but I mean, even within porn, I think she wasn't just like a porn star. She was also.
No, she
like,
was one of the smarter girls who took care of business.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then there's other girls who just like fucking. they just get fucked out, and then
I watched. I mean, the most the craziest unraveling is how fucking famous and big and doing like mainstream music videos that what's her name was Jessie Jane was, and then when she did SDR show, I'm like, she's problematically on drugs. And then I saw her a few months later, and I was like, well, that wasn't a one off thing. She's definitely a problematically on drugs. And then she died 2 months later, and like it was a blurb because like. It said it just eventually went away. She just wasn't as hot. 55 more hot chicks came in. She got older.
Yeah. And well, here's the thing with OnlyFans, it's just a little different, right? So this is, you know, and I'm almost playing devil's advocate, but, you know, I guess this, I'm not. I think this is true 100%. Like what happens is these guys, it's not just a hot chick. They like being able to, so the reason Karen is so successful on OnlyFans, Karen's attractive. It's nothing to do with that. She's got a great body, obviously.
No,
Karen's
for sure.
Reason that people, it's this factor of like people see her doing stand up, they see her on podcasts, they know her before they know her naked body. And we all know this. It just makes it that much hotter. And I think with podcasters and comedians, it's very easy. And then that's what happens. The same thing with this chick on Instagram. So like, I don't give a fuck about that chick. In fact, when she's naked, she's not even that hot, right? She looks hotter in clothes. But because like she's been popping up on my Facebook thing probably a year, mm-hmm. I'm going like, fuck yeah, dude, I get to watch that chick get fucked. So you feel like like social media and podcasting for sure, it lends itself to sort of like everybody thinks they know each other. And that now it's like their job to like, have this interaction with them. These guys feel like they know them. They feel like they're in on like.
Oh, Lewis, I felt it myself. Even going fine. I think going back to like a similar, it might have been that same Lisa Ann episode that we did this, but like, it was that girl comic that before I didn't know anything about her comedy or anything, and it was like she did the scene with James Dean.
Yeah, of course.
I wouldn't have stopped on that video on a homepage at all on a porn site if I didn't. It was the fact that you found that out, that she did comedy, and then you look at her comedy and you're like, oh man, it's a real person. Oh man, I can't believe she's doing porn. Like, it definitely adds something to it. You know, the flip side of that, who I think is working it really perfectly, is Christy Canyon and Ginger Lynn do a podcast together. I don't know how good the podcast is necessarily, but what a good for like the age of people that would be into that, that are like porn dudes that would love to listen to something like that. Because again, it starts making it hot again, because the attainability of like, you could just see them chatting on this thing. It's very like, you know, humbling.
Is it crazy to me though, that, so obviously the dynamic you guys are talking about is 100% true. I mean, like, if you think about it, like when you were like a senior in high school, if you went to a strip club and saw a naked chick, it'd be like, okay, you know, you're at a strip club. But like, if someone was like, oh, there's the hottest chick in your class, there's a picture of her, that'd be way hotter, because like, you
that's
know
literally
her
what my joke about the strip
person.
Club is about when we right, used to go right. every Wednesday, because you'd see
but
a chick in school.
That doesn't work as much for me if it's like someone who already did porn then starting a podcast. It's yeah. more like if it's someone who did a podcast then starting.
It's, yeah, you're right, David. Like, it's why the
no, I agree.
Tape,
I agree. It's more that
the mentality
sure.
behind the sex tape works, right? Like, you know, the Paris Hilton and fucking Kim Kardashian. But even when you look at like the porn that we grew up like getting into, what blew up was that Gonzo style porn, where it was a girl that it could be any girl,
right?
Dude, it seemed Shane's World.
Yeah, they would fuck these college students. You would imagine yourself being there.
It's all set up, but it was definitely in my. I was talking about something I just wanted to suspend disbelief for, was that Shane's World. Those girls would really go to a restaurant and then pull a busboy in a bathroom and suck his cock together. But it's never the fact. But
well,
it was
even
awful.
Like all like that, like dude, it's so funny because like those guys were fucking criminals, like the whole girls gone wild thing, like dude, I mean, just we grew up, this was our generation, this was being sold to us as not only like a thing that you'd like be like, ooh, I like porn, like we all like in the shadows, right? This was being sold to us as like, dude, this is normal. Find underage girls,
I say,
get them hammered and have them take off their fucking clothes. You're the man, this is cool,
buddy. That's what the funniest thing I always say. The 90s, I think, was such a fucking fantastic time. I thought, at least in my experience with race stuff, race relations, and not an awesome time for a chick in
it
that
was,
sense.
The
buddy,
rules,
when
like the laws about rape in the 90s just said buyer beware.
Yeah.
Like it was just dude, like, it was a rough time. And then, was just like, yeah, that's why you don't go get drunk at a club, you dumb 17-year-old.
That's one of the funniest things with whatchamacallit, the Woodstock 99 things. It was like everybody who walked there was like, yeah, it's like, what's her name? Alanis Morissette is like, hi, everyone. Like, show your tits. Show. And they did it to like fucking Sheryl Crow and shit. I think Sheryl Crow threatened to leave. Yeah, one of them threatened to leave or something. They were like, hey, guys, like, come on. Or I'm going to go if you don't stop doing that. It's just so fucking. And it was just like, they didn't even fucking think twice. And when you'd hear it, you were just like, not that you didn't go, those guys are animals, but it was almost more like, those guys are animals, dude. Like,
oh, I would have been, Dougie, I would have been there screaming, show your tits, unquestionably.
Oh, I could have been dragged. I could have been dragged into it.
100%. Sure. No, I would have started it. I would have been on top.
Yeah, I would have started it, but I definitely could have been dragged into it.
On a wooden plank, being like, show your tits. Are you fucking minded?
Lewis been surfing on a door they ripped off of a bathroom. Yes. On top of people.
Are you crazy? At that fucking time, dude, for sure. I talk about it in my act now, but it's like we act like rape culture didn't exist. If you listen to Old Legion of Skanks and the term rape culture, we would roll our eyes at it and be like, dude, rape culture, whatever. And then you think back and you're like, oh, 100%. We were a part of it. We lived it. It's almost like, but you can't get in trouble for it. It's like having a slave in the fucking 1700s. Like, that's what everyone did. How was I going to pick my cotton? How am I going to get all the cotton out of the field?
I guess we're going to get this cotton if I don't rape. Yeah, like I said, rape culture is almost like the wrong term for it, I guess, really, because Girls Gone Wild didn't necessarily show girls reluctantly doing stuff as much as it did when they were like, hey, I actually don't want that to be out there. Like, fuck you, bitch. Like,
that, of course, well, that was really evil. But in reality, dude, now you have a 21-year-old daughter. And she's of 22. Legal age to drink.
22 now.
Right? Think about this. Now these were 18 and 19-year-old girls that were not of legal age to drink. They were of legal age to show their titties, right?
Oh, yeah.
So you have these.
Were also like, just for anybody who's younger and doesn't remember the Girls Gone Wild tapes, they were like, most of the time, in a blackout. They weren't like a little bit drunk. They were like stumbling. Trash. And shit. Yeah.
Yeah, dude. And then they put them in the back of a bus. They were like, we'll give you a t-shirt or a hat. These girls are like, and it's also like at a time when like the internet wasn't a thing. So like, in a weird, you're hammered. You're like, oh shit, like I'm going to be, not famous is the wrong word, but like just being on TV is like, it was a very intoxicating. Yeah. Remember when we first started comedy, Dave? Like I went to the New York Comedy Club and Ozzy Baez was the door guy. He died. Remember Ozzy, Dave?
Sure.
Jay?
Yeah.
And, but I remember like they introduced him as like from HBO. They were like from HBO's whatever. Like all he was a bit part on like an NYPD Blue type show or whatever. Like he had just some like thing. But I remember just being so like impressed as a 19-year-old being like, oh my God, he's been on TV. That's fucking crazy. I remember like, you know, getting on TV when I was 11 at WrestleMania 11, standing on the seat and my face being in the background when Jonathan Taylor Thomas, when Jonathan Taylor Thomas was coming down.
We've said this before. I was like the kid that lived across the street from me in South Jersey was in a Fruit Loops commercial, dude. And you were like the kid, I mean, he lived his life like he was like a Hollywood star, like around like the house. Because everyone was kind of like, dude, you were on the television, man. And you're like, yeah, I guess I was.
But that's exactly why I think you get these young girls. They're 18, 19 years old. They're cute. They're hammered. Now they're going to maybe be put on TV. Like, there's all these things. It's so fucking
evil
when you really think about it. Now I'm 40. You also hear this in this podcast as well. You watch us grow over 13 years, right? I was 30 or 29 when we started this podcast. Like, just 18 today is much different than it even was back then. I think of an 18-year-old now as a 42-year-old. When I see them now, I'll randomly run into an 18-year-old. Six Flags Great Adventure. It's a bunch of like teenagers. You're like, wow, they literally look like little fucking kids.
Yeah.
Dude, I was on a plane recently, and it was a team. Like, I think it was the girls field hockey team or something like that. And they're just all piling in, like the whole
team. Sorry, say that's my instinct. I'm like, sweet.
And I was like, I literally thought it was like a fucking middle school team. And then I just looked up and saw Rutgers.
College, yeah.
Oh, they were college.
Their fucking thing. And they were in college. And you're like, oh my God. Yeah, it's like they all become so young. And look, dude, like, I don't know, like, legally, I guess you got to draw the line somewhere and it's somewhat arbitrary, but just like morally for like grown men, because these guys were our age at the time who were doing like the Girls Gone Wild shit or close.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, yo, you are a fucking piece of shit to do this, dude.
To show you also, if you remember how fucking nefarious it was, like in hindsight, actually, because you're right. It would be like they bring a couple girls with them to a club. And it was all that. It's like the foam and all, almost like the, Kirill kind of did thing.
It was big in the 90s.
And there's, yeah, and I said, and the girls are pulling their titties out and showing their tits and some showing their ass and thongs and pulling their panties to the side and all that. And then you get them out on the streets talking some shit, maybe showing some titties out there. And then you're right. Then they get them on the bus and then they start making out and they're like, why don't you kiss her down there? And it's just, you hear basically the sounds of three guys breathing in a quiet. They put no music to it. It's just girls like the sound. Yeah, this is like the sound of girls kiss. That's it. And it's like, and you're just like one of the creeps on the bus watching also like, uh-huh.
Which kiss. One is this? This is just Girls Gone Wild?
This was the original like thing it looks like.
Hold on, Spring Break. All right, let's see here. Turn the volume up. This is the whole video. Can you send me this too for research purposes?
Go through the thing, like scroll through it and find where like they get on the bus. That's where it really is like, yeah, here you go. And if I recall from ordering this very videotape, it's like a through line, the girls on the bus. So it's them hooking up. See, yeah, it's like them out. But when they start fucking, dude, it's everyone's just kind of quietly like sitting there and like, it's a
well, they don't have sex. There's no sex.
There was uncensored ones that did have sex.
Actually, Girls Gone Wild brand was a different brand.
It's called Girls Gone Wild Uncensored and Beyond. I ordered the VHSs. I can't even find the stuff online, most of that shit. It was great. It was all the B-roll shit. And then they sold all the rest of the B-roll stuff off to just companies that would put out tapes called Spring Break 2000.
Yeah, there was all those Lake Havasu tapes that came out.
That's Girls Gone Wild. That was Girls Gone Wild. But they just sold off the explicit shit. Well, that's what happened also. The girls would do explicit shit. I don't know if you saw those documentaries. They would do explicit shit and then be like, yo, actually, I don't want that out there. And they'd go, okay, we'll cut it. And they put them in Girls Gone Wild showing their titties and stuff. And then they would sell them getting fucked by some random guy in a hotel room to like Lake Havasu.
Sick.
Thing. But yeah, this is the volume up? Because
yo, honestly, this definitely holds up more than most stuff from the 90s. Dude, you ever try to like watch fucking Three Ninjas? Like,
I guess this is better. This is better than Teenage Mutant Turtles 2: Secret of the Ooze.
It definitely holds up. Actually, maybe even better. I feel like this shouldn't be turning me on, but for some reason, it's bringing me back to being at an age when this would really turn me on.
And I'm not saying you don't find girls in the world who would do this kind of stuff like this, I guess now, but harder pressed to just pull out of a fucking bar.
Dude, I will say right now, I'll pitch a Girls Gone Wild minibus at Skankfest next year. Bing, where we just do this with fans.
You make pornography, fan pornography.
But we're just doing it with our 40-year-old chicks who are fans. Doesn't feel as bad.
Shane Gillis described our female fans as gas station workers, and it was such a funny way to describe them.
Oh, dude, this was great.
It is like Lewis's broader point does kind of stand that like times did need a change to some degree. Like, it's good that they kind of put the fear into men to be like, wait a minute, if I'm being like a creepy piece of shit, something bad could happen to me from that.
Right?
No, it's just, it keeps me on the straight and narrow, dude. I got a career, they have the internet. It's like, I can't rape. What do you want me to say? There's no moral objection here. I'm saying I don't want to lose what I have.
Let me see your beautiful faces.
I mean, this is all before. This is before revenge porn laws, everything.
One of the guys who like one of the like woke people who tries to like cancel us or whatever, they wrote a thing one time and they quoted me in it where we were kind of like talking about this like theme. And I was saying the thing that I was like, when I was 15, I was like, our attitude when one of the 15-year-old girls in our friend group fucked like a 25-year-old was like, you whore.
You pedophile, sir.
Yes, like today you're like, oh, okay, I guess looking back at it, like that girl was statutory raped. You know what I mean? Like, but we were just like, you knew what you were doing, you pig.
Oh, and no, like, now it's 50-50 though. I still have that attitude. I'm still going like, well, hold on. She was still a little bit of a slut. Her dad didn't raise her right, but he took advantage.
Yes, but they quoted me saying that and like we're taking that like, oh, and I was like, no, I was just being honest. That's how I felt when I was 15. Like, I'm not saying I feel that way at 41. I'm just saying, like, at the time, that was the culture. I was, like, essentially, like, Lewis, too, I was agreeing broadly with, like, your premise that, like, yeah, there kind of was a rapey culture, and that wasn't great.
Oh, no, yeah. For sure. I've said that many times. I said all those documentaries all proved. I said Woodstock 99 tried to make that racial fucking thing about it. I was like, the race stuff seemed like it was going great. Everyone came together communally to tell this bitch to show her tits.
I have a dream that both blacks and whites can rape together.
Well, yeah, there was a weird thing where, like, I feel like 90s, 2000s, we were like racially, everyone was like, yeah, we all kind of agreed, like, oh yeah, racism sucks. Actually disliking somebody for the color of skin is fucking whack. Who gives a shit? And we were all kind of like, all right, let's fucking just fucking rape. Let's
by the way,
girls on a bus.
But by the like, way, cool, almost, cool. Almost, you know, almost what you were saying last week, Lewis, and kind of sticking to that thing. It was like, yeah, buddy, my friends are all kinds of races and colors and whatever. You know, I'm not going to hang out in Camden, New Jersey late night. It's because it's a scary black neighborhood. You know what I mean? It was like, it's not, but that wasn't
it was,
like,
it was, you know what it was? It was a very mature, like almost like realistic viewpoint on what was going on. It just felt very realistic. And then the internet and social media came out and fucking wokeism showed up. And it was like, they divided everyone racially. There's all these like real extreme like pockets. Now people are more racist than they've ever been. And if you ask me, I've said this on podcasts for years. If you would have asked me a decade ago, I would have been like, you know, racism seems like it's kind of fading out. I feel like people get it. Like people like we're all, but it's like now there's this reaction where like, you know, you fucking call somebody racist and the attitude is like, well, yeah, maybe I am then. Maybe why am I racist though? Look at the reason I'm racist. Breaking down. And you're like, oh, well,
dude, I've said this to Lewis before on the phone, but like, I do blame the woke progressives because I feel like they picked this fight when things were getting so much better and they kind of, but I also go, it only took the right wingers only had to be poked a little bit. Like, yeah. Just had to be like, they're like, hey, you're racist. Fine. Then I'll be racist. You're like, Jesus Christ. That's well, all, it took for you to snap right back into it.
What was great was just things like the discovering process of all that with like social media and the internet coming out is that exactly. Someone's like, why would you say you wouldn't walk through Camden after midnight as a white person? Because that's racist. I'm going to go walk through Camden after midnight. And then they get beaten and robbed and they go, that's because society has not given these people a chance. Even though I was screaming, I'm here to prove a point of what good people you are. Because they've been so impoverished by society that they felt they also had to beat the living shit out of me and rape my girlfriend who I tricked into coming.
You know what? Part of it is, in a weird way, I do think, especially with the political stuff, because I pay attention to this shit a lot, but it's almost like there was like this gentleman's agreement, especially amongst white people, that it's like, you just
you
don't go there.
We know, dude.
Yes. Well, I'm saying it was just like, oh, you don't go there. You don't say this thing. You don't, you know, on some level, we all kind of know there's like something, but like, you don't say it out loud. And then like the left was so crazy with, they're like, you're a Nazi, you're horrible, that they were just like, all right, gentlemen's agreement off. You're like, what, you know, because like the thing you'll say, like, well, the reason Camden's so bad is because of all of these, you know, socioeconomic cultural forces. And you're like, how about Africa? Yeah. How about all of it? How about and you will see people make these arguments. And for the most part, my response to it is like, I still just have this 90s gentleman's agreement where I'm like, ah, come on, you don't say that out loud, man. Like, you don't, come on, dude. Like, I don't really have a
some
counter.
Lovely stuff.
I don't really have a counter argument.
It's like, we all just were like, all right, we all are allowed to have our thoughts, no matter how racist, sexist, or whatever they may be. You don't let them out, and that's what's okay. That's the contract we all signed. So that's it's really interesting, and it's a great point, Dave, because I've always made the point that I don't care if somebody's racist, right? People bring up Anthony Cumia, and I'm like, I don't give a shit that Anthony Cumia might think Puerto Ricans are below him. He's always been cool to me. He's always been respectful to me. I don't really have an issue. It's not the thought or the ideology. I, in my head, I assume you're the worst out of everybody. People only present the best version of themselves. So whatever right. they're presenting, I'm going like, all right, dude, you have way more fucked up thoughts. You have evil shit. You have intrusive thoughts. You think fucked up shit all the time, right? So, but the reality is, like, I judge the act. If you act racist, I judge it. If you are racist, have fun.
I think yeah. if you are racist, I always be willing to hear somebody's reason, but I would be like, you know, if somebody was like genuinely like racist in some way, it's just like a weird, like the theology of it, I don't quite get, unless they've had some kind of reason that I'm sure would need to be worked out any other way. I'm just saying, racism, like we said, what we were saying last week, on the most just basic level of what people think is right, is batshit crazy. It's just like learning how to conduct yourself in society.
That's a great way to put it. Like, we are human beings. We do have to exist, right? We do, regardless. This isn't some fucking gay left-wing shit. No, I got to go to the supermarket and I got to buy groceries and feed my fucking kid tonight. We can't just be out there fucking saying, kill that tranny. This guy's black. He's a piece of shit. It's like, guys, we have to go to work. We have to get
home. But what you're saying about Anthony, like the problem is that Anthony is like a broadcaster who gives a shit, like, you know, he's for entertainment purposes, mainly anyway. I'm saying the theology is bad if it's like, even if you tell yourself, like, look, man, I'm racist, but I don't let that affect my work. And you're like in HR and shit. Like, I think that could probably creep into your fucking thoughts.
Oh, yeah, for sure it could. But the thing is that everybody has their own prejudices and bigotry. Like Lewis is saying, like,
you can't really scan for that.
but to Lewis's point, that's also why I'm skeptical of the people who put themselves forward as the anti-racists, because it's okay, you're also a much worse person than what you present yourself as. So, like, get off of that.
Well, didn't Lisa Traeger have that when they nailed her at one point? When they were like, hey, you just, like, she was complaining about something, and they were like, here's you doing like a far, 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 far ching chong voice yourself or something again. She was like,
and didn't she come out and like shit on Louis after he got like busted, but then she worked with him while he was like, and by the way, everyone knew the story about Louis. We all thought it was worse. We all thought that he was holding a door and jerking off against girls' will. And everyone just still accepted it because he was popular and it wasn't a big fucking crazy thing.
And also, and not just that he was popular, but that he was so good.
Yeah.
I also never heard that about him, blocking doors. I always heard that he likes to jerk off in front of, I just kind of thought that was like his, it was never brought on to me that people weren't into it or he was stopped.
The rumor when I was younger in comedy was that, like, the way that it was sort of presented was that he would jerk off in front of girls against their will.
Really?
And he helped.
Yeah, I had heard some funky rumors, but again, you never know what's real or what's not. I do remember, dude, Scott Adams, I don't know if I should say, this is behind the paywall. There's no way it could get out. But you know that Scott Adams guy, the Dilbert cartoons?
Yeah.
He's the guy.
Okay, yeah.
So
yeah.
Me and him have had like a few kind of like back and forth things where we were kind of like arguing with each other. And then he got in a lot of trouble because he basically just said at one point that he goes, white people should move away from black people. Like, you just shouldn't live around them or something.
Yeah.
And I remember, like, there were a few people who were like, because I had just been arguing with them, they're like, yo, Dave, you should fucking, you know, go at him for saying this or whatever. And I remember just kind of being like, but like, I did that, you know?
What do you mean?
Moved away from black people.
Yeah, you agree. You're like, no, I agree.
But it's almost like, so
you didn't
what
move away
am I
from black people, though. That wasn't really what the move was necessarily.
No, but I
you
did.
Moved away. You moved away from a zillion people.
Well, yeah, but okay. I moved to a place that's incredibly safe. And part of the reason I liked it is because it's such low crime. And also that coincidentally comes with the fact that it's like an all white area. So it's like, what am I going to, I'm going to criticize him for saying it out loud, but really that is my criticism. It's like, hey dude, just don't say it, just do it. Don't be a dick, you know what I mean? Like, it's like, I, and the truth is that, like, no, everybody, like, everybody to some degree when they move somewhere is like, how's the neighborhood, how's crime? And that is,
yeah, we all know what they're asking.
It's almost directly related to the, you know what I mean?
Like, you live in a nice neighborhood, Dave, but I'm saying, like, I really feel like if a black family was moving in across the street, you wouldn't, you just, I mean, I'm again, like, 1,001 jokes the day they pull up, But I'm saying, like, I don't think you'd be like right away, like, this is going to be a problem.
No, I wouldn't give a shit. I would judge them as an individual
because they moved away.
Family. Yeah.
Because they moved away from black people.
Well, that's the other thing. So this is what happens when I'm in my neighborhood and I see a black family. When I see a black family in my neighborhood, I'm literally going, I was like, you know what? Good for you guys.
Did it. Hey. You guys are white in my book. Get in here.
Chris Rock, I don't know if he ever, what special he ended up doing it on ever, if he ever did it on a special, but the time he got me most at the, watching him at the Cellar years and years ago.
I know that he did it on a special.
He did it on a special. Ahead. Yeah, it was like,
the neighborhood he lives in.
Yeah, he lives
the
in the neighborhood. He has like a dentist. He goes, the other guy like invented some medical thing. And he goes, and that. And he was like, and Mary J. Blige and him.
No, it was for people who don't know, player. He was saying, he was like, I live in a really great neighborhood. There's four black people
in my neighborhood. Yeah.
He goes, it's me, Mary J. Blige, Patrick Ewing, and like one other guy. And he goes, Mary J. Blige is maybe the greatest R&B singer ever. Patrick Ewing's a Hall of Famer, played on the Dream Team. He goes, this other guy like invented the whatever. And he goes, and I've done pretty good for myself in comedy. He goes, now my white neighbor is a dentist.
Yeah.
He's not the dentist.
Yeah.
He's not the greatest dentist of all time.
He's never sold out anything as a dentist.
Yeah, like it was just and then his punchline was like, a white man can walk into what a black man has to soar into, you know, getting or whatever. Yeah. And like, look, there's something to it. But look, I remember I was looking up the stats of my town before I moved here, and it was like crime, A+, schools, A+, like this, A+, this, A+, and then it went diversity, F. And I was like, yes. Like, that's like exactly what I'm looking for. And so like, I don't know, if you're just in the spirit of what Lewis said, like we all pretend to be better people than we are. I think the role of comedians is typically to like kind of point that out and then to also point it out about themselves. Like it's kind of like the essential insight of a comedian is always like, hey, you're full of shit. And I know because I'm full of shit too. You know what
but
I mean?
You're going to want through time though, socially, your kids not to be whitewashed. You know what I mean? You don't want them to be like excluded from every other culture in the world growing up.
I don't know.
Really?
I don't really value.
I'm not saying for street smarts. I'm just saying for like just the integration of like society.
Nah, I don't really. Honestly, I'm not like. I think some cultures are better than other cultures, and I'd rather my kids just be immersed in the best culture. They could figure shit out later in life. I don't like. I wouldn't. I don't know. I don't want my kids to like know like thug culture or something like that. I don't want them to know a lot of the shit I knew.
No, I don't even mean thug culture. I'm just saying like different, not everybody just being like a white kid.
Oh, what? I need him to eat some smelly Indian food or something like that, Jay?
What do you mean, Jay? You're talking about like being in like in their school and their neighborhood and like...
Just socially, I'm saying. Yeah, I'm not talking about like with the neighborhood. But that's what's going to kind of happen anyway. If you live in a neighborhood that's all white, you're going to have all white friends. But there's like... I'm not sure. You want to make sure there's some kind of social diversity.
Dave, your kids are going to be Coney.
I'm okay with that.
What do you want your kids to be, Coney? Coney-ass kids?
Coney-ass fucking white-ass, white-bread-ass motherfucking kids.
No, like, honestly, there might be something to that. I'd have to think of, like, what the example is, but I don't really know. I don't know. I don't really want my kids exposed to a lot.
No, you know, they don't have to be exposed to a lot like young, but I don't think you're exposing people just by letting them see.
You're going to go to stores and malls and whatever. Sticks. Dave's a little bit more in the sticks than I am.
Sure.
I mean, I'm in more of a blue collar like neighborhood. So James has.
Hey, you'll get there.
James has like in his school and in his class, there's like brown, but it is primarily white kids. So I'd say it's probably 50-60% white.
Yeah, I mean, well, look, it's not like there's not, I'm not, I don't live in a 100% white area or anything like that. I'm just saying that it's like,
there's an Italian there. A dark Italian.
So, you know, we got some Irish. We're having meetings about it. We'll figure it out.
Irish. We're not thrilled about it. The Irish. The N-words of Europe.
This is all jokes, guys. All jokes.
But it was a good way, to get to the thing of that the 90s, great time for race relations, bad time for hot chick
rape,
roaming
rape
around.
Relations.
Yeah, roaming around hot chick. Bad times. Bad times. I know we have like a little over 10 minutes left here. Can I see this Mike Perry thing? I want to know about it so bad.
Yeah, pull up the Mike Perry thing.
What's the story here? What happened?
Mike Perry, I watched him fight Mickey Gall. Mike Perry won, and then he took the fight so lightly, he went afterward and started talking about his taxes right when he finished the fight. And so I've always assumed he's a weirdo.
Do you not know Mike Perry at all beyond that?
I know he's like a wacky dude. Yeah,
he's a wild man for sure.
Super wiggery. Was doing bare knuckle for a while. Yep. That's really where he caught his stride with bare knuckle.
Was great at bare knuckle. Yeah, like, he was made for bare knuckle fighting.
Is he still undefeated at bare knuckle? I believe so. He's just a real one. He's a thug. He's a real deal thug. And yeah, he got stopped for a DUI. And they asked him.
Drink and drive, faggot?
So he's pretty quiet for the first 3 minutes of this video. I'm skipping to where the action is.
Basically. All right.
Okay, put your hands behind your back.
This is a UFC fighter. He was a UFC fighter.
He's wearing UFC shorts. Or not UFC, Ed Hardy.
Well, before they cuff him, they ask him if he'll take a breathalyzer or do a field sobriety test, and he refuses.
Stay in the car.
Sorry, I'm getting arrested.
Why?
Because I'm not doing this bullshit sobriety test. So just relax, honey. I'll be home. I'll be home soon. They know exactly who I am. They're fucking mad. Fuck these
They're a couple of fags.
It's all right, honey. It's okay, honey. I'm going tonight.
Oh, man. I want to see so much who this girl is he's talking to.
I'm going tonight.
I bet she's fucking hot. I know his last girlfriend was pretty hot. She used to corner him. That was the thing in his UFC fights. He just had some hot broad.
In his corner.
He's like, yo. Yeah, he's like, she's going to corner me. And she's like, come on, baby.
She just walked down the aisle with a smoking hot fucking chick. Just a complete, just nice to look at dip.
Yeah, and she'd be like, oh my god, I think you should punch and kick.
Yeah, she goes, you're getting hit too much, you're not hitting enough, and your face is bleeding. I don't know, it's fucking crazy.
Dude, a hot chick in your corner rules.
But when you start punching, it gets me so wet.
Yeah, dude, is this his current chick?
That's who his current chick is.
This is his wife.
Oh, they have kids now. Yeah. So you forget that, like, time just flies in this game. Like, what's funny is, like, just pause this for 1 second, Dave. You remember, like, Francis Ngannou, like, I would consider him, like, a part of, like, the, like, later generation of MMA fighters.
Yeah, 100%.
But he came to the UFC when I was doing the Hammer Fisting podcast. Back in the day.
Really? No, he didn't.
Yes, just because I used to make a nigga new joke. That was a joke
I remember. That was one of my favorite jokes you ever said. Was you go, this guy could fuck your chick right in front of you, and you in Ghana do nothing about it. That's such a great joke.
Love a good pun.
Yeah, dude. That's what I'm saying. Time's flying.
But time fucking fly, dude. You were like, you just something like that. Like, oh, he was fighting in the UFC for a decade, and like, you don't realize like how long that goes. But like, yeah, Mike Perry had a whole other girlfriend that was cornering him in the UFC, and at this point, he has a wife and children.
Dude, I remember my stepfather was a lawyer, and he was also a drunk. And I remember he got it was in Long Island. I don't know.
Drunken Lawyer is a great TV show.
It is. It was. It wasn't so great to live with, but it probably would make a great TV show.
Yeah, this whole court battle.
He was real smart.
The prosecution rests. Well. I'm going to go rest it on your mom's box.
So he refused to take. One time we got pulled over, he refused to take the breathalyzer,
yeah.
And the cops like gave me a ride back. And the cop the whole time was just he was like. Oh, he goes, you know, your father's being like stubborn, and he's a dummy for not taking it. Now we're arresting him and bringing him in for the night or blah,
he's
whatever.
Telling you that he's a dummy?
Yeah, he was like saying, he goes, wow. And he said to me, he goes, you know, your father's just too busy, like being a lawyer. But my stepfather, all his flaws aside, he was very, very smart. Mm-hmm. And this cop's like a fucking lunkhead cop. And I remember just sitting there quietly being like, yeah, yeah. And I was like, no, he's smarter than you. He knows what he's doing. Because if he had back then, this was like in the 90s, it was a misdemeanor to refuse a breathalyzer, but it was a felony for driving under the influence. And so he knew. He was fucking, he was hammered. He was definitely going to fail the breathalyzer. So it was a real smart move, but I'm pretty sure they cleaned up all those laws and they just,
yeah,
made
no,
it
now
a felony.
It's an automatic DUI.
It's a DUI, basically. It's the same charge now. But back in the day, there was a time for a little window, talking about the 90s, good race relations, bad rape relations, but also if you were driving drunk, just don't take the breathalyzer. That was 90s law. That's all over.
Yeah, is there a reason today to not take the breath? I believe my understanding today is that if you are hammered, like if you're obliterated, refuse the breathalyzer, take the DUI because it becomes like a crazy law. Like if you're so hammered that it's
You're probably not going to remember this advice because you're going to be wasted. But
well, I believe it's a different charge if you're like over
like way over.
Level.
Yeah, you blow like a 2.0 or something.
Yeah, I believe, but maybe I'm wrong about that as well. But I think that's the only case where it's smart to not take the breathalyzer, just take the average DUI instead of be like the attempted murder charge or whatever.
I feel like 2.0, you're dead.
Wait, what is Alex telling us, mother lawyer? Advice? I'm sorry.
So these are the three reasons they say it might make sense to refuse a breathalyzer.
What are they?
You provide less evidence to the prosecutor, so they'll have to rely on other evidence to prove your intoxication, like the observations of the officer and whatnot. Breathalyzers can be inaccurate, so I mean that one doesn't make that much sense, but it could, you could blow into it and it could give you an inaccurate
false reading. Yeah.
And medications can cause false positives. So if you're on a medication where you know that it's going to.
Right.
I would say that too. I would be like, I'm taking medication. I took a cough syrup today, so I'm not going to blow on that because you're going to.
Jay be like, I took some medication.
Yeah. I pounded a whole NyQuil. Get off me, you faggots.
Dude, do you. Jay, do you remember.
Get your gay paws off me, pigs.
When we were just talking about it, I don't know in what context, we were talking about the Sacramento Punchline, which is a great comedy club. Yeah. So one time me and Jay were there, you know, like 10, 15 years ago or something. And we got a ride back to the hotel from our friend who used to be Lewis's roommate. And it was like, I mean, I think the ride was like, it was just enough to want to ride. Like you could have walked it back. It was like a few blocks from the hotel to the club. And she got pulled over and she's a large woman. And they just made her do a field sobriety test, which was just the most hilarious thing ever. I mean, me and Jay were just cackling like little girls in the car.
Here's this woman, she's 6'3", 280 pounds. She felt like Brock Lesnar.
I mean, it was just hilarious. They're making her hop on one foot and shit. And you're like, oh, dude, no.
They're making her hop on one foot, the car shaking.
Do you remember that, Jay?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And she wasn't like, drunk. No. She wasn't drunk.
They're like, Miss, climb this beanstalk.
But she looks like someone who's always drunk and being beaten by a fat black man.
But it is also all the shit they make you do in those field sobriety tests, which I've never had that. I never drove. But
yeah.
That always just seemed impossible to me. And there's no way.
Go from H to P.
Without singing it.
Yeah.
And don't sing it. And you're like, well, I have to sing the beginning part up to H to even know where we are in this.
Like, you're no saying LMNOP. What? Fuck.
You're also just nervous. You're always nervous. Even if you're like, didn't do anything wrong, I'm nervous when a cop stops me.
Do you remember when my sister, we were coming back from White Boy Weekend?
Yes.
My sister got pulled over with us?
Yes.
And she wasn't drunk. She's just fucking retarded.
A bad driver.
Bad driver was, and retarded.
I swear to God, they
but the
gave,
cops were cool, right? The cops were going to be pretty cool.
Well, you were, halfway through it, we're like, officer, just so you understand, you're not administering a field sobriety test. You're administering an IQ test right now. That's what's happening, she, okay?
They were like,
failing.
She and she's my sister's just like so uncoordinated and unathletic. So they were like, they were already frustrated. They were like, say the alphabet from like, you know, C to M. And she just forgot F. And when she forgot it, me and Dave looked at each other like, are you fucking kidding me? Did you forget F? So then they were like, all right, miss, you're going to have to put stand on one foot and touch your nose. She just can't stand on one foot. At one point, they just like it's like they were giving up. They're like, just walk in a line.
They're like,
just
ma'am,
walk straight.
Can you like raise your hand? Raise one hand.
She's just stumbling over her own feet, and I'm like, I literally went. I went to the cop. I was like, officer, give her a breathalyzer. She's not drunk. I promise you, she's just uncoordinated and retarded. That's all you're dealing with right now.
Oh, dude, I remember too. I was so nervous. Because I had the stinkiest weed on me.
Yeah.
The stinkiest fucking weed. Like, and it was just, and this was back when weed was like very illegal. I remember just being, oh man, it was fucking brutal. And I had it, like, I think I tried to move it to like a pocket that they would be less likely to check or something, or like hide it in my underwear or something like that. And I took it out of my pocket to put it in there, and it just, this is before they got to the car, and it just stunk up the whole car.
Oh no.
As I took it out, and I was, and you said something, you were like, dude, the fucking stinks. And I was like, open the window or whatever. Like, I was so nervous the whole time. And so then it adds like the extra element of like when she like forgets the F, and inside I'm like, fucking Janice, get the F right. I'm gonna go to jail because of your dumb fucking memory.
This is so funny, the amount of times like you have weed on you back in the day. And there'd be a cop, like a cop would walk by you and be like, oh shit, my next 48 hours might be ruined. Like just that feeling and that anxiety of like.
I had such a low amount of time of that. I have to run, boys. I have to dip out.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, let's wrap up.
Can we wrap this bitch up?
Love you guys.
Love y'alls. Thank you guys for hanging out and watching us here. The people that hung out with us live.
But we never did plugs.
They know.
Go to our websites. Come to our dates.
LewisWasKings.com. Come see me next weekend. Me and Zach will be in Baltimore and DC.
Nice. Yeah. Comedy Club of Kansas City. ComicDaveSmith.com.
Buffalo Helium. A bunch of other stuff. BigJComedy.com.
We all have a bunch of other stuff, Jay. That's not fair that you got to plug a bunch of other stuff. Bunch of other stuff.
We'll catch you guys next time on Legion of Skanks. Until then, peace.
You've been listening to the Legion of Skanks podcast with Big J. Okerson.
If you suck it, I think I would instinctually suck it.
Thick with three C's.
Who else be fucking over, Lewis?
Lewis Gomez.
Lewis J. Gomez, you motherfucker.
Lewis J. Gomez.
If you ever try to watch a retard draw swastika, it's hilarious.
I'm sort of known as a point guard of podcasting. Being a fat gay guy is so fucking awesome.
And comedian Dave Smith.
You fucking godless, soulless sodomites.
That's the fucking best joke I've ever heard in my life.
It was 8 inches.
The Legion of Skanks podcast.